book really began when I saw a photograph by the great Hungarian-French photographer Brassai. It was a picture of two women in a bar.
That's author Francine Prose. One woman in the picture has broad shoulders and cropped hair. She wears a tuxedo, and her arm is wrapped around a slender, feminine woman in a shimmering dress. The portrait is called Lesbian Couple at Le Monocle, 1932.
I'd seen this photo before. It's an iconic photo, but I'd never known much about it.
According to the photo caption, Violette Morris, the larger, more masculine woman in the photo, worked for the Nazis during the German occupation in Paris. Prose was fascinated, so she looked into it.
And sure enough, it turned out that she had been a professional athlete and a race car driver. And right there, I thought, you know, oh my God, a race car driver.
A race car driver in the 1930s in Paris. It was too good to be true. In 1935, the French government took away Morris's license because she wore too many articles of men's clothing. Her athleticism got the attention of Adolf Hitler, and she attended the Berlin Olympics in 1936 as his special guest. By the time she got back to Paris, she was a spy for the Germans.
She was the one who told the Germans where they could invade France. And then she went to work for the Gestapo, and she was assassinated by the French resistance in 1944.
It's interesting because you couldn't make that stuff up.
You know, that's exactly what I was saying. You couldn't make this stuff up. And that was why originally I thought I should do it as a nonfiction book, because if I did it as fiction, no one would believe it was even plausible. The more I thought about it, the more I thought actually I wanted to do it as fiction, because it allowed me to just open the story up. I thought, boy, it would be so much more fun for everybody, especially me, to do this as a novel.
The story is told not from the cross-dressing race car driver turned spy's perspective, but from the points of view of a half dozen other characters.
There are all these different voices in the novel. There's the voice of the photographer writing home to his parents. There's the voice of this sort of life-loving American novelist, kind of like Henry Miller. There's the voice of a baroness who's an art collector and a patron of the photographer. There's the voice of his girlfriend who becomes a resistance heroine. There's the voice of a woman who's writing a biography of the athlete slash spy.
Because of the seemingly fractured narratives, readers have to piece together the parallel storylines as their intertwining relationships unfold. Lovers at the Chameleon Club, Paris, 1932, revels in glittering Paris in the 1920s, explores the tenuous, fearful 30s, and exposes the occupied 40s. It's a story as fractured as pre-war Europe that mingles moral ambiguity with grace and explores the fallibility of memory and the nature of history itself. For WCQS News, I'm Greta Johnson.